Now we turn to news from Iraq. The U.S. has decided how to deal with the 55 most wanted members of Saddam Hussein's government and even Saddam himself. Iraq's new U.S.-backed governing council agreed to set up a war crimes tribunal that would try ousted President Saddam Hussein and his top associates. The U.S.-backed council agreed to set up a commission charged with laying down laws, local or international, that would allow it to put suspected war criminals on trial. With us to talk more about setting up this tribunal and to talk about how other war-torn regions have dealt with their war criminals is Diane Orentlicker, a professor of international law at American University. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Lynn.
Maybe you can explain the plan for us. How would this work in Iraq?
Well, it's not yet clear what the plan will be. As you indicated, a decision was taken apparently today by the new Provisional Council to set up a commission that will try to set forth procedures for making these decisions. But apparently they do plan to set up some kind of local tribunal for prosecuting crimes of the past. And that's no surprise. There's clearly been a huge cry for some kind of justice and for high-profile prosecutions among Iraqis. So a lot lies ahead. There are a lot of decisions that lie ahead. I think it is significant that one of the very first acts of this new Iraqi interim governing council was to say this is a priority for us. That obviously shows that they recognize how important this is to Iraqis, and I think that's an important signal. But if I may say, Lynn, I think it's also going to be very important to the success of this process that Iraq proceed with deliberation. And by that I mean, in particular, that Iraqi citizens be widely consulted about what they want, what exactly justice means to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there are going to be some big questions right away about the legitimacy of this very new, untested body that was appointed, not elected, making major decisions without having a consensus behind it.
What has to be done then in preparation for something like this to inspire that kind of trust, that kind of confidence in this sort of tribunal so that it's effective?
Well, I think the South Africa model provides a good example of how you go about establishing the legitimacy of the decision-making process. South Africans, when they had to decide how to confront the crimes of their past, widely consulted experts from other countries who had faced these issues in their own societies, like countries like Chile, and they learned from those experiences, but then they deliberated how to adapt the lessons from other countries to their very own unique situation. And there were widespread consultations among South Africans, very protracted discussions in the parliament before South Africa decided how to confront its own past. And so I think Iraqis should do something like that. I think it makes sense for Iraqis to consult their counterparts in other countries that have faced the daunting challenges of reckoning with atrocious crimes committed on a vast scale, and then determine how best to confront this themselves. Another part of that process, if I may say, will involve the expertise of outside experts. I think the United Nations is in a good position to play a constructive role in providing expert assessments of the state of the Iraqi judicial system, in providing information to Iraqis about what other countries have done. As you know, the UN has already begun that process by holding a meeting a couple of weeks ago, but that's just the beginning. There's a lot ahead.
How complicated might it be that this tribunal is seen as an extension of the American influence and occupation there?
Well, it's obviously a huge issue. There's going to be questions have already been raised today about the perceptions that this might be victor's justice. And no tribunal can render perfect justice when crimes have been committed on a staggering scale, as they have been in Iraq. There are going to be huge questions inevitably. And so the perception that the process is legitimate is all important to the willingness of Iraqis to accept the limits. Not everybody will be prosecuted. That will be impossible. And so the perception that this process may be undertaken at the behest of or under the guidance of the United States is going to be a big question.
Now, I've read that some human rights organizations have expressed concerns about this, saying that it's going to be the victims will be the judges. Is that unique to this kind of process? Is this the only place where that might be the case? Has that been the case in other countries? And if so, is that a problem?
Well, let me see. I see this somewhat differently. I think that's a very legitimate question. I'm glad that it's been raised. But I also think that it's important for the society that has endured terrible crimes to take responsibility itself, if that's possible, for confronting the past. That's part of what being a democratic society means. And, of course, Iraq is not yet a democracy. It's not governing itself. But part of the process of taking responsibility, as democratic citizens would, involves letting a society play the leading role in confronting the crimes of its own past. So I wouldn't want to say that Iraq is disqualified from playing a major role in this process because it's a country of victims, but the issue of fairness and capacity have to be taken very seriously. If I can say very quickly, one model that has emerged on the horizon in recent years and which may be appropriate for the challenges Iraq faces is what is called a hybrid court. Basically, these are courts that are a blend of local judges, local law, and international judges and international law. A court has been operating for a few months in Sierra Leone that follows that model. And the advantage it offers is that it provides...
I'm afraid we're going to have to wrap up, Diane.
Sure thing.
Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Lynn.
Diane Ornlicker is a professor of international law at American University. She joined us from her office in Washington, D.C. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.